Coming up on TMS, the dark side of Devon.
Mountain Dew does what, you say?
Oh, you're going to love this one. Disney has a couple of weird things in the works.
David Brent movie is happening.
Teen kept awake a week for what? Because he had a thing in his eye.
Toy Story gone. Or Toy Store gone after 145 years. Toy Story is still a thing.
Still here. Not that many years. Fitness geek.
Jury duty.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's about time. It's about space. About two men in the strangest place. It's about time. It's about flight. Traveling faster than the speed of light. Here is their tale of the brave crew. As through the barrier of time they flew.
By the way, what does gung, gung, gung mean?
Hello, my friend. Stay a while and listen.
This is The Morning Stream.
Everybody, welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short. It is Tuesday, the 19th of May, 2015. I'm Scott, that's Brian.
Well, hello.
Hey, man. I made a commitment earlier that I will not, because I've clearly overstayed my... I've slept on the couch too long. I will not mention a certain movie that I can't stop raving about today. Not going to bring it up.
It's a movie that came out this last weekend, and both... words begin with the same letter.
Yeah, you're exactly okay. Right about that.
So no more talking about Pitch Perfect, people.
Yeah.
That's it. We're done.
I will not talk about MMFR today at all. Unless there's one.
Mother F and R.
Mother F and R. The only chance I'll bring it up is if Jury brings it up, and then I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing
there
I can
go.
Do.
Yeah. There goes that commitment.
And I promise you, if he brings it up, I will play this. Just as a notice that, hey, we're about to do it again, okay?
Right, sure.
Hey, let's
Were people complaining about the
A few people think I've overextended my admiration. Look, I have talked about it a lot on not just this show, but just everywhere, and I kind of can't shut up about it, and I liked it that much. But I understand kind of, you know, basically people are like, I don't get it. How come everyone's so loving this? I don't get it. I thought it was this or that. I don't get it. And my answer to them is, it's not for everybody, and I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with you guys not liking it. Don't feel nerd pressure. I don't judge you or hate you at all. I have zero bad feelings about people not sharing my...
If they don't like the exact same things that you like, Scott, you don't judge them. You don't secretly secretly hate them.
No, I secretly like them. Secretly lust after them. For real, it's not a problem. So I got to tell you a story... about my kid, Nick, there. Nicholas Johnson. He's 15 as of 2 days, 3 days ago.
All right. Nicholas.
Yeah, little Nicholas. He used to be a kid. Now he's a bigger kid. He's 15. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
It's funny because on Facebook it said that he was 31.
Yeah, you want to know why that's the case?
I don't know.
Because back when he was about 10, he wanted a Facebook page really bad, and we are very progressive, forward-thinking parents and said, all right, we will trust you. Here's what you need to know about rules, and here's what you need to know about how Facebook works, and here's the little stuff here and there you got to think about. But Facebook rules say you have to be 13 and older to set up an account. So he could have just faked a couple of years ahead on the birthday, but instead did like double his life.
Let's be, when you're 10, you'll be 21,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, so he says, so it says it's his 31st birthday, but he is nowhere near that. Well, he's about halfway there, I guess.
Okay.
That's weird to think about.
Well, then I shouldn't get him some Breckenridge scotch.
Not necessarily.
Not good for the, good for a 31-year-old, mm-hmm. Not so good for a 16-year-old.
Yeah. I feel like he's not quite there yet. Well, maybe when he's 16. He's got a year till he's 16. Maybe then.
Oh, so he just turned 15. Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, 15. Yeah, because he's doing the permit thing.
Yeah, he's getting his permit this week. He has requested that I help him drive, and I asked why. He says, because mom gets really mad. And I said... Really? And he goes, yeah, you weren't there for some of the time she was trying to teach Taylor how to drive. And I said, was it that bad? She says, oh, she was really mad all the time. And I said, well, I that's fine with me. But he goes, don't tell mom because I really like mom, but I don't want her to teach me to drive. So I said, okay. Anyway,
yeah,
but that's
Tristan.
Yeah.
Tristan had similar things with me. Like there were times that he was like, no, I'd much rather have you teach me to drive until he made a left turn and stopped in the path of oncoming traffic halfway through that left turn because he wasn't sure if he should go or not.
Oh, gosh.
Like, no, go.
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, I think it's just the illusion that you're mad. You're not actually mad. You're just, we need to not die here.
Right.
Teaching you how to pull into traffic. So we get hot and loud, and they see it as anger because they haven't experienced this before. And I told him, I said, buddy, I may be just as bad if you do dumb stuff. If you're about to turn into some cop car in the parking lot, I'm probably going to go, whoa, blah, 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 and freak out. So be aware. He's very excited, but he's also very concentrated on making sure he doesn't screw up. So we'll see how it goes.
That's you know what? A healthy fear when you're driving is a very good thing.
I agree. Defensively. That's what I was taught.
That's right.
That means a life of zero accidents and only one ticket, and that ticket was a year ago. So there you go. All right. I got to tell you the story here. Oh, and to the guy on Twitter who claims that I'm a prude but just won't admit it, he can go eat a shit popsicle.
Wow.
No, I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. He's a really nice guy. He seems fine to chat with. He really is. He's fine, but I don't know why.
Go eat a shit popsicle. Just kidding.
He can't give me any examples of what he means. I don't know what he means because I'm not prudish at all. Maybe what he means is because I won't drop F-bombs on shows, that makes me a prude.
I don't know. I mean,
but I don't care if other people do. Like,
yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I certainly, you know, knowing you, and I think as 99% of the audience knows you,
you know me as much or better than most people I know. So I'm actually curious to hear this. So sorry to interrupt,
that's all right.
Just laying the groundwork that Brian, of all the people I work with, probably knows me more than most of them. What now? Tell me what you're going to tell me.
Well, you're a prude. No, I'm kidding. I could not, with that setup, I could not do it. No, I mean, I think people who are just learning about Scott Johnson and just meeting Scott Johnson probably don't realize that choices that you've made, things that you choose to avoid, are not based on being scared to try them, as a prude would indicate, but that you just have chosen not to get involved with them.
Sure.
Not drinking, for example, not gambling.
Sure. Well, I gamble. You know my problem with gambling? See here. Okay, so this is good. A point-by-point breakdown. I don't drink because I don't like how any of it smells. I mean, that is literally kind of my problem with it. And I also, there's a history of alcoholism on part of my dad's side. Not my dad himself, but people on his side. And that kind of stuff freaks me out a little bit. So I just avoid it. So, and it's not been, you know, you go a certain amount of time in your life where you don't drink, and then it's just easy. It's like no big deal. People are like, oh, you're not drinking?
But even if, you know, and who's to say that even if those things weren't a factor, you'd still just choose not to do it because you don't want to.
Yeah, I have a right to choose something I do or want or not want to do. Exactly. Right. However, the thing with, what was the other one you said? You said something.
Gambling?
Oh, the gambling thing. Gambling, it's interesting. I have zero problem with anybody gambling ever all the time. They can gamble their lives away if they want. I just find it really boring and expensive. Mm-hmm. Like when I hear you talk about how much you like craps tables and stuff, I go, "Oh man, I wish I liked that like he does." Because it seems like you're having a ball,
but then you hear like, "All right, well he's got you know $5 on the pass line. He's got a backup bet on the pass line for another $15, and then that again on three other numbers with come bets."
Yeah.
So what is that? That's $20, $40, $60, $80 on the table that could disappear with a single roll of the dice.
Yeah, blink of the eye and that stuff is gone. And and it's not that I'm also so super tight that I don't think there's places where money should just be spent for fun and entertainment. Obviously. I mean, I buy way too many video games. But I have this problem. Like, even just playing slots. Like, back in the day, I'd put a few quarters in a slot machine and go, well, those are gone, and I got nothing out of that, and I think this computer thing's cheating anyway, and I could have spent that in an arcade and had at least some fun for my lost quarters. You know what I'm saying? That's my whole thing with gambling. Zero issues with it from a quote-unquote moral standpoint. I don't care about any of that.
Sure.
So those are two things. The other thing people always point out is...
And they're choices you've made as opposed to being... afraid to do them.
Oh yeah, you know,
prudish to do those.
Oh yeah,
things.
Prudish implies I'm sort of putting my nose up and judging everybody for what they're doing. Like I think this is who I am, and this hopefully will help this listener and others. I am a guy who has made some choices in his life to avoid certain things, to embrace other things, to prioritize some things and not prioritize other things. Whatever those choices may be, all the way down the line, for good or for ill. I made those choices for me, and I have zero judgment toward anyone who chooses in different ways, any more than I have them not liking this movie I'm not going to bring up for the same reasons. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I have zero problem with people hating that, or drinking all the time, or thinking pot should be legal for 8-year-olds. Like, great. I'm not you, so I can't choose or think for you or tell you what to do. If I'm anything, I'm not a prude, I'm not anti-prude, I'm not any of those things. What this comes down to is I am a huge believer in everybody's individual ability to make a choice. That's it. That's as simple as it goes for me. So I wasn't planning on bringing that up, but I'm glad it came up because I get this a lot. People are like, you say you're not a prude, but you're totally a prude. Like, well, I'm not a prude. What does that even mean? I don't even know what that word means. What does it mean? It means, I'll tell you a prude. My mother-in-law's like a prude.
Shy or unwilling via fear or morals to do something.
Yeah.
Right?
I think there's a big judgment part of it.
I'm not going to let you feel me up because I'm prude.
Right. If somebody is, to me, a prude is not only somebody who is not willing to whatever, or they have their reasons why. And again, I don't even have a problem with those people. They can choose what they want too, but there's this element of judgment behind it, where they're going, "Oh, well, I wouldn't smoke weed, and that means you're lower than me." Like, I don't feel that way. You can do whatever you want, man.
So the question to the guy on Twitter would be, does Scott not wanting to do something or liking something or
not liking it or whatever,
not liking or whatever, does that impact your enjoyment or non-enjoyment or anything in your life? Like, because Scott doesn't gamble, does it affect my enjoyment of gambling?
I hope not. Sure hope not. Yeah.
Of course not. Not in a positive or a negative way.
No, I hope you're having a great time at that table and winning.
So
I hope that $85 stays in your pocket and you add another $300 to it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And I hope so too.
Yeah, I have high hopes for you when you gamble.
Of course. But so dude on Twitter, who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, it's almost like this conversation is kind of dumb anyway, because what is it? And I'm not, listen, this isn't me giving him a hard time or raking him through this stuff.
Of course.
Yeah. I think he brings up a point. There are other people like Jeff Sires calling me out for loving this. I'm bringing up the movie again. But for loving the movie, and he can't understand why everyone's raving about it. And he's saying it's not just you, it's so many people. And my point to him would be, or to others, I don't know why that's a problem. I guess it comes down to this. If you're in a room where 98% of the people in the room are totally in agreement about a thing and you can't understand why they all are when you're not, that's a valid emotional response. That's a valid intellectual conversation to have. Like, why is it that I feel this way yet most everyone else feels a different way? Or vice versa. Why is it so many people agree and only a minority disagree? Does it make the majority right? Does it make the minority right or wrong? Like, those are valid conversations. That's why we're having this one. But I'm just putting it out there that if people are worried that I'm somehow on some sort of stump going, I don't allow F-bombs on this show because I'm a prude and you're all going to hell. That's not me. I don't care about any. In fact, if you want to go to hell, good luck to you. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Do whatever you want
to
do.
You know, some people want to go to hell.
Yeah, enjoy.
I think they're actually already spray painting my name on a reserve sign for parking space down
right
there.
Right. I've got a guy.
A spot reserved for Brian Ibbett.
I have a neighbor. I won't say his name because I think he may listen. Anyway, but a neighbor who's Larry. Mad at me. He's mad at me right now because I told him that the Bible story of Noah is a fairy tale. For adults, it's an adult fairy tale and makes no sense.
Is, yeah.
And if you really want to parse down the history of it, there's probably a way to say, oh, well, the world was probably just a 500 mile radius thing. And, you know, to the people there, that wasn't very much. And every animal 2x2 was probably goats, cows and chickens and, you know, a few of the domestic animals. They had no idea there was like
kind of a dinghy.
Yeah. Nobody knew there were like three eyed lizards living in a cave somewhere in South America. Like there's
get a hold of those.
Right. Somehow they survived. Like me bringing that up is me just expressing my own opinion about something, and he was not having it. He was really mad. I don't know why I'm bringing that up except to say this is the way of it. We're all going to agree, and we're all going to disagree, and it's just the way of it. So it's fine. Go about your business. Do what you want to do. I'm not not telling you how to live. Mm-hmm. Brian, here's the story. Yes. Here's the story I meant to tell you.
Back to Nick.
So he has this kid in his class named... I guess I can say it. I don't want to get him in trouble.
You said it in the start.
I did. I'm going to call him Devone. Okay.
Okay.
Let's just say his name is Devone.
Sure.
And Nick is in school.
Bill Devone.
Yeah, and he's kind of a bully. He picks on a lot of people and gives people a hard time. And the first I'd heard of him was Nick was at school, and this Devone kid started picking on, bullying a small, younger 7th grader. These kids are all in 8th or 9th grade. Yeah. And he's bullying this kid.
You never pick on somebody your own size.
No.
If you're a bully, it just, you know, goes against what you do.
That's the rules, right? So I told Nick, in those situations, you better be the kid that stands up for the little guy. So that is all I ever want to hear about you at school, is that you did not bow to peer pressure and not do the right thing. Like, you freaking stand up for that kid and you step up, right? Even if it means a fight, I'll back you up. I'll come to the school, tell the principal that that's how I raised you, right? Like, that's kind of the deal.
Right.
I want him to be tough and take it for the little guy. He's going to be a protector of those who can't protect themselves. That was my diatribe.
I like that, yes.
So he said, yeah, sure, Dad, whatever. And so I heard tale of an occurrence. So this Devone kid was picking on some kid, and Nick stepped in. Or no, the kid says, Nick says, hey, leave him alone. It's as simple as that. Almost sounds like a thing you'd see in a movie. And this kid goes, oh, Nick, you want some? You want to step off? You want to step off? You want to?
Oh,
you want some other kind of language that sounded like a horrible 80s bully
he's
movie.
Biff.
Yeah, he's basically Biff. And Nick's,
you want a piece of this,
and
McFly?
And because this kid's kind of short compared to Nick, Nick's shooting up like a weed.
Mm.
Nick immediately gets down on his knees, eye to eye. On his knees, eye to eye.
What?
This kid.
Is that? This kid is that short?
Yeah, he's kind of that short. Nick gets down on his knees and gets right up in his face and goes, go, hit me, go, hit me, go, like that. And I heard that, and I went, oh, all right, see, that's exactly, and of course the kid didn't, and the whole thing got diffused, and it was good. That's exactly what I wanted him to do. Step in, take the hit. If it starts that way, then you can finish it, blah, blah, blah.
Right, exactly.
So,
don't throw the first punch, but make sure you throw the last one.
Here's the best part of all this story, though. So yesterday, that was just to give you some context of the kind of kid this is. Yesterday, or the other day, a couple days ago, this kid is saying out loud in front of a bunch of students the following information. There were no girls around at the time, but he says this. He says, you guys know that I'm doing it all the time. I'm always doing it, meaning he's having sex all the time.
Of course.
And no one actually believes he's ever had sex, but he's saying that anyway. And he's claiming, he says this, he goes, you guys always wonder why I've got this big Mountain Dew at school. And they're like, what's the big Mountain Dew for? And he goes, Mountain Dew is known scientifically to kill all your sperm. So that you can have sex without ever getting anybody pregnant. You don't have to have protection.
It's Idiocracy right here.
It made me laugh so hard to hear that story. I about fell over dead, and I had to share it on the show. There is a kid walking around an American high school claiming that Mountain Dew, while I'm sure there are many things about too much Mountain Dew that could be bad for you, kidney stones, you know, whatever, over-caffeination, too much sugar, fat, whatever. But apparently one of them is it will kill your sperm so that you won't get all these girls pregnant that you're doing.
Yeah, and see, and he's the kid who's going to be overpopulating in his little circle.
Yep.
If he's really having sex, which I think he's probably
I'm guessing he's not. That's my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. These are the kids that repopulate. It's Idiocracy, Scott. The prophecy has been foretold by Mike Judge.
I know. I mean, how many steps away is it from Devone's Mountain Dew theory to a toilet built into your recliner watching TV?
No way.
Not very.
Peyton.
I'm Peyton. I love that movie.
Oh, Dax Shepard.
It's good stuff.
Why does that seem like the most realistic thing you've done?
I know, right? It really does. The doctor, quick update. The doctor visit yesterday with the specialist went fine, except why is it always with me that anything I go to these things, I'm always surprised by this. So the photo of the good doctor on the internet, very clean cut, very suited up man, a venerable 20-year veteran of the specialty that he's in and all this. So I expected that when I went to his office. I get in there. He's all in scrubs. Okay. So he looks like Zach Braff from the neck down. From the neck up, he looks like, and I'm not kidding, the spitting image of Nick Tortelli from Cheers. You know that actor, right?
Yeah, who's the actor? I'm trying to. He's great. I'm pulling it up right now.
I love him in all things he's in.
He is great. Yeah,
but he
Dan Hedaya.
That's the guy. Yes. Look up Dan Hedaya and laugh with us, because I'm not kidding. That looks exactly like this dude, this doctor, who was utterly fascinated with podcasting when I started explaining it to him. Just fascinated. He just could not. Oh, well, now that. And now what? Now he really wanted to know about the morning show and how it worked. He may be listening. I don't know. If he is, you look like Nick Tortelli. Super good, nice guy, really knows his stuff, and very helpful, and we've got some stuff we're going to do. So, anyway, guy's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
I have to get an MRI, though, which doesn't sound
That's fun. All right. I've had an MRI.
Yeah, I did one probably 15 years ago for some totally unrelated thing that turned out to be nothing, but this is the first time back since then. Are they still just as claustrophobic with the when you enter it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that
then. I actually do have a form of claustrophobia. I think that's probably the only phobia that I really do have, or at least the strongest one. I tend to get a little freaked out if I'm in a place where I can't turn around. Like if I'm John McClane and I'm navigating my way through the air ducts of Nakatomi Plaza,
trying to get to those detonators.
if I can't turn around, if I'm in a, I don't mind being, you know, crawling around on hands and knees through a tunnel. But if I can't turn around, if I don't have that ability, then I'm a little freaked out by that.
Yeah, that's me too. I don't like that at all. So I get in there. I'm sure I'll get in there and feel similar stuff. But it will be easier because I don't have to drink the devil's pee before I go in, like the CT scans.
Yeah, the barium or the whatever the flavored crap.
He told me, he says, now you've had two of these in the last year and a half. I don't want you to have a third. And I said, oh, why? Because it's miserable and terrible and the worst procedure ever. And he said, no, because when you've got like iodine crap in your blood, that's just too much. And I don't think that's good for people. So we're going to do an MRI where all you got to do is slide in there and you'll be fine. And I said, okay. Anyway, we'll see. I'll let people know. Everything's, you know, he was cool. Real nice guy and really knew his stuff. And well, obviously, that's why you go to a specialist. He was telling me things all the other doctors didn't tell me. He's like, oh, yeah, well, on your scope, there's these 4, 5, 6 things. And I went, what? They didn't even tell me about that. He says, oh, yeah, that's all normal here and here. But this part's a little bit weird.
See?
So, you know.
That's the benefit of a specialist. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Regular guy's like, I can burn off your mole. And I can put my finger in your bum, and if you like, I can give you a prescription. That's all they can do. They don't have specialty in anything. They're jack of all trades, master of none. All right.
When is the MRI, by the way?
I don't know. They're going to call me and schedule it. So I'm waiting. Okay, I think today they'll let me know. So the hospital has to call. Yeah.
Lots of information on the internet about the controversy, the urban legend of Mountain Dew and contraception.
Oh, good. So this kid is spouting crap. He hasn't even bothered to snope.
Great. UrbanLegends.about.com, CulinaryLore.com, Answers.yahoo.com. Pick one, Devone. And
my favorite autocomplete search is I started typing Mountain Dew and then it was sperm snopes.
Oh, really?
Mountain Dew sperm snopes. This would be good because I can link Nick to it and he can go show it to this kid and see what the kid's reaction will be. Oh, yeah, here it is. False.
Yeah.
Of course. Teenagers in my area. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, my guess is this kid has no idea. He hasn't bothered to do any checking. No. So I'll send this home with him. He'll check it out. Anyway. And people like stood around and heard this kid's not just talking about it, but really pushing it. Like, this stuff works, guys. This totally works. Trust me. Trust me, it's working for me. It's like, what girl is it working for? You liar.
You know, I think if you do drink and become tracked, that you won't father any children. So there's something to that.
There is something to that. Do the do or something. All right. Hang around for the end of the show. We have very important stuff to tell you about. This regards anybody who is currently supporting us on Patreon and might be considering it. Big news, okay? Important
news,
stuff.
Everyone.
Exactly. With like really beneficial news. Let's call it that. Something that's exciting and rad. And I know I'm pulling a Johnson, but it'll only last till the end of the show. And then you'll be here for that.
Let's just say that if you've been on the fence about joining the Patreon group, the patrons on patreon.com/TMS, mm-hmm. this may sway you into doing, into finally pulling the ripcord and joining.
If this doesn't sway them, I don't know what will. Let's just put it that way.
That's right.
All right, we're doing this now. Sorry, wrong song. Hey, look what we're doing now. Hold on. There we go. All right. Yeah, this is the one. This is the one I want. It's Futurama week, everybody. It's where Daryl asks us questions about trivia in the world of Futurama, one of my favorite animated TV shows of all time, if not my favorite. I think it might be my favorite. And we're going to do the best we can. It's Brian and I together. We are the Futurama nerds. Daryl's the asker. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Nick
is a hero. I just have to say that.
Who is me? Who? What?
Nick. Nick is a hero.
Oh, is he? Why? Oh, the mountain or the bully thing. Yeah.
For standing up to bullies. Mm-hmm.
No, that really impressed me. Because honestly, I'll admit, as his dad, he's just kind of a shy, keep to himself, not keep to himself, but just sort of doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to splash water, if that makes sense. He's not the kind of kid that will want to jump in and make things more complicated. And so he'll stand back with things and, you know, not get directly involved. And if there's a big party, he does not want to run it. He'll go, but he doesn't want to be in charge. He hates that stuff. So I thought maybe in this situation, he might actually not do what I'd hoped he'd do. Like, he might just sort of say, well, not my thing. I'll just keep moving down the hall. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, I was like, all right, chalk that one off. There you go. Mm-hmm. He's a decent kid. I think, you know, come what may. And
I can't tell you how much it means to that little guy.
Oh yeah, no, dude.
It means the world.
Yeah, having been that little guy once or twice in my life, it was a big deal. And I've told him this. I said, Nick, you're like me. When I was younger and I started to grow like crazy, suddenly nobody picked on me because I was 6'3" all the time, and that, you know, that was intimidating. I said, you're doing that right now, so you aren't going to have the problem. So you're going to be tempted sometimes to be the problem or be part of the problem. Don't freaking be it. Stand up for the little guy. Because that guy on Twitter lied.
That guy on Twitter lied.
All right, Daryl, let's get back to it. Let's do this.
Okay.
You've got questions. We've got answers. We've also got something to test today, so we'll do that in a minute. But before that, ask us our question.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Because Stump a Trek Nerd is brought to you by...
Oh, shit. It's brought to you by...
Stump of Futurama Nerds is brought to you by Enjoy Handcrafted Collectibles, and Buskets and Toys. Little Red Apple Designs creates hand-painted Matryoshka dolls. Those are those Russian nesting dolls. And Peg dolls. All items are original designs of pop culture characters. Have an idea for something different? Place a custom order, and we can create the items you are looking for. Find us on Etsy at etsy.com/shop/littleredappledesign.
They're really well done. So just, he's being modest about this, but you know, Dark Anders in our
Karan.
It's his wife doing this, and they're amazing.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I was in Alaska, I picked up a set of blank Russian nesting dolls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, to paint or whatever?
It's been sitting on my shelf because I've been trying to decide what I want to do with them. Like, I was thinking I would do the Fantastic Four, you know, make the biggest one the thing, and then do the ones inside. And then was thinking maybe I do like a zombie decomposing. So you start off with the regular human, and then as you take it apart, you've got the different layers.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
I have no idea. It's sitting right here on my shelf.
I think she should steal that one idea and do it.
It looks dirty. It looks like a sex device, but it is a little, you know, it's a set of Russian nesting dolls.
It's a dirty sex device.
Yes.
I put a link in the chat showing my favorite one that she's got up there, which is a Guardians of the Galaxy set.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. With Groot and then Drax and then Star-Lord. It's great.
All the way down to planted Groot at the bottom there.
Okay, I was wondering what the smallest one was. I could see that Rocket was the next to smallest. Yep. I like the Princess Bride one, too.
Yeah, that one's really good. So, anyway, go check him out.
So well done.
Yeah, she's awesome. And also, he married way over his station. She's a total sweetheart, and he's just a big goofball like us.
Yeah.
All right, Daryl, ask us the questions. What do you got there?
Okay. In the episode, The Lesser of Two Evils, we meet Bending Unit 22, who is better known as Flexo. He is like Bender, but with a goatee, so you know he's the evil one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just like Spock in Mirror Mirror. Mm-hmm. Flexo sprays Fry in the face with toxic gas. What kind of gas does he spray on Fry as a prank?
I think I actually know this.
Awesome.
All right, what are our options?
Okay. I'm not going to read A, B, C, D. That's silly. I'm just going to read the things.
All right.
Sure.
Chlorine. Neon.
Neon.
Bromine.
Bromine.
Or xenon.
Xenon. I'm not spelling these right, Brian, but there's the list.
Pretty close, though.
Look at bromine.
Bromine is the only one you didn't, yeah, but everything else you did.
Bromine. B-R-O-M-E-E-N. Bromine.
Bromine.
That's very stupid. All right. While we think about it, we got to think about it. We got to really think hard. And while we do, we have this for us right here, which is this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
J. Hammond Chamberlain sent us, basically, these are like olive branches in a way.
Yeah, right.
Because he made us drink, or we ended up drinking what we think was bad yogurt soda. At Nerdtacular. You know, and we really dodged a bullet, Brian, because I just barely tasted it. Had we drank much of that, we could have been sick all weekend. That could have been, yeah, you know, real rough.
Like Nicole, right?
Yeah. She was not well. So let's, I think, was she sick? I don't know. I don't remember. Did she get sick?
Yeah, she was sick at the last, she got sick from the last Nerdtacular, during the last Nerdtacular.
I didn't know that. Well, he sent us two things that are here locally, but I've never heard of them. One is a Kasili Choco Banane XL, which my kids already broke into and nipped a piece of, which I'm pissed at.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I think we do that one first since it's open for me and I just need to finish it.
I mean, you know, we're doing the Futurama stuff all week.
Yeah.
So the fact that the next thing we're going to have is fries chocolate cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Seems appropriate. And
I don't know
great
if he meant
timing.
To do that, but that's great. All right. I've never heard
of
this.
Kasili Chocolate Covered Banana XL.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a car.
It does, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Totally does. Mine's fallen all kinds of apart.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally apart.
This has been... Yeah, this is... Is this real banana in here?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Sugar, might be a
glucose,
slice of
fructose,
it.
Fructose syrup, cocoa.
Oh, okay, maybe not.
Banana pulp.
Yeah, I guess it's more banana than you'd think. Okay, I just ate 8% it.
8% banana pulp in foam, cocoa butter... in foam.
In foam.
Foamy banana pulp.
In styrofoam.
It kind of tastes like a banana, though. I'm pretty impressed there.
Okay, I'm eating.
Take a bite of that.
Hmm.
This is $1.99. Man, candy's expensive in the States.
Mm. It's tangy. Very tangy.
Yeah, yeah. Tangier than you'd think.
Right. There's money in the banana candy bar.
I don't mind it. It's not the worst thing we've had. That ain't thick with liquid or anything. It's all right.
Oh, God, no.
All right. Well done, Hammond J. Chamberlain. J. Hammond Chamberlain.
If that is your real name.
Yeah, that is even your name.
This is good, but I would never go get it.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd buy it again.
No, no, I wouldn't.
And he's not, by the way, just to his credit, he's not sending this saying, oh, you guys will love this. I think these are very random. He picked these out of nowhere.
They are. It's a texture that I probably wouldn't want to consume a lot of.
Yeah, I agree. Plus, it's super messy and hard to stay together.
Like extra thickened banana liquid.
Yeah, that thing doesn't have a good cohesion. It's just kind of falling apart. Tomorrow, though, we will try Fry's, which has been around, I guess, since 1761. The chocolate cream bar, that looks really good, and we'll eat that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, J. Hammond C.
Really good.
Darryl,
looks like a big peppermint patty, honestly.
Do we have today in Futurama history or Trek history or something?
Oh, what do we have? Oh, we do, and it's a good one. Back in 1983 on this day, William Shatner got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, that's good. That was a long time coming there. That was while he was on T.J. Hooker, right? I want to say.
83, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That show sucked. It was terrible. Really bad. We watched the pilot for it autopilot, and it sucked. But anyway, there you go. Happy thing on the street for William Shatner.
I wonder why he did T.J. Hooker, because he was doing the Trek movies by then.
I think he really wanted to break out of the stereotype. I mean,
I think so, too. I'm sure that's it.
Wasn't this back when he resented his Trek time or something? Because there was a lot of that for a while.
It might have been.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look. Shatner.
I don't want to get typecast as the same kind of actor for
exactly
everything
right.
I would have think that I would have thought he would read the T.J. Hooker script and say, "I'm not doing this crap."
He was born.
Oh, I thought he really liked the T.J. Hooker stuff.
He might have. He was born in the FDR administration. which just
can I slide across this hood?
Let's see. He was in. Hold on now. Just hold on to your butts. Here we go. He was in Star Trek.
Wait, really? You say?
Okay, there it is. And then 80. I'm trying to jump ahead here. Boy, there was a dark time between this and like the early 80s for him. Nothing good. Okay, here he is, 1983. Police Squad, hold on. Kidnapping, Star Trek, Motion Picture. T.J. Hooker. Okay, T.J. Hooker aired from 82 to 86, so yeah.
Oh, that's a big run. Yeah. I didn't know it was on that long.
Yeah, decent-sized run.
I remember feeling like it was on forever.
Yeah. Both the hour it was on and the length of the series.
And just in longevity, sure, exactly. Sure.
Jenny Josephson, if you're listening to the show, I think you're smoking crack about The Leftovers. I watched another episode last night, and I really, really like that show.
She just doesn't like it?
She thinks it just goes nowhere. But sure. I don't know if I agree.
Totally.
I don't know if I agree. I like it. I think it's really good. Hey, but to each his own. That's today's theme. Today's theme of the show, to each his own.
Exactly.
I wonder, Daryl.
More for us.
Daryl, if you end up seeing the new Mad Max, I'd be very curious. I mentioned it. Shite. I said the name. All right.
The Voldemort of movies, you mentioned.
I just want to know if you end up liking it. I'm very curious about your take.
Because of the shaky cam business?
No, I don't think it's very shaky. I think it's like...
No, I don't think it is either. It doesn't... I just know that was...
Yeah, I don't think that'll bother him. I think what'll bother you... Well, I don't know what will bother you. I'm very curious. You'll have to tell me.
I want to see it.
All right, well, let me know. Okay, back to the question. It was either chlorine, neon, bromine, or xenon.
Now, you still feel like you know... Had an idea of what it was, you know, just from...
I think it's either bromine or xenon, and I don't remember which of the two.
Yeah, I don't imagine it being neon. I don't think you could, you know, blow neon gas into somebody's face and have it be a big issue.
Yeah.
Bromine was my first thought too.
Oh, hold on a second though. Chlorine rusts things. This may have been
into Fry's face, not into Bender's face.
Oh, this is Fry's face.
Right? Is that right?
Or is that right, Daryl? Yeah. Remind us? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that I'm leaning very heavily toward, well, I don't know if I'm leaning heavier toward bromine or xenon, but I'm sure it's one of those two. Mm-hmm. Do you have any inkling?
I'm leaning more towards bromine. That was when you first read those answers, I was thinking, all right, that seems like it would be, you know, bromine gas.
Yeah.
Blown in the face.
If you were a surfer, you'd call it bromine.
Bromine.
Bromine. Hey, brah. All right, we say bromine.
Okay.
How'd we do?
Mr. Question Writer here wrote things weird. He gave the wrong letter.
You don't say.
And wrote the right word.
Shocking.
So I'll just tell you if you got it wrong.
All right. Oh, no! Oh, no. Crap, which one is it?
It's chlorine.
It is?
It's chlorine. Yeah. Huh.
I don't remember chlorine gas. I love that episode. That's a good one. In the end, they switched goatees or something, so you weren't even sure which one was Flexo. Flexo.
I don't think if you sprayed any of these in your face that it would do anything to you except for chlorine.
Chlorine would burn your eyes, for sure. The other, but I don't know. What is neon gas? Neon gas can't be good. Bromine.
No, it's an inert
elemental
gas.
Here it is right here. Elemental chlorine at high concentrations is extremely dangerous and poisonous for all living organisms and was used in World War I as the first gaseous chemical warfare agent.
Wow. Later, we thought it was good in pools. Right? Is that how it went?
That's right. The more you know.
Oh, you did that
and
while I was
play
drinking.
That clip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have a clip. Hold on. Let's play the clip. Here we go. Futurama clip. Here you go.
Hey, Fry! Think fast! Get it? It's chlorine.
It's funny because it's poisonous.
Yeah, keep laughing, Brine Shrimp, but he's bad news. I regret ever running him over.
I love that show.
I love it, too.
God, I do, too. All right, this week is making me so want to just go back and binge watch and get to experience for the first time a lot of those episodes I missed.
It's almost on all the time in my house, I feel like. The kids love it. We love it. Like, it's going to bed music or TV that's kind of just background. We just love it. I just love that show. And the fact that it's just kind of permanently always there on Netflix is just it's a miracle that we even have it. So be glad, everyone. Be glad. That's it. Daryl, good job. Way to go. You're the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You're also at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and on the Grumpy Cast. Tomorrow we'll continue Futurama Week. But before we go, Daryl has a contest for us, right? I guess you already did, but now you'll have another one.
Yep. Yep.
What? Is this a...
Yep. What? What? Yep. Yep.
Is this a Klingon word or an actual meatball?
All right. Meatball All right. or Klingon word. Go.
Ketzitzot.
Ketzitzot.
That's not a meatball.
I don't think that's a meatball.
I could hear him go, Ketzitzot.
Yeah.
It sucks, but it's still a thing a Klingon would say.
Can we get a spelling?
Yeah, spell it.
Exactly how it sounds.
Oh.
Ketzitzot. Are there apostrophes?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say.
And then there are, and it's a Klingon word.
It's a Klingon word. We didn't Klingon.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you there are dashes, and it's an Israeli meatball.
What? Shut up, dude.
Damn it.
This is a good category. Who knew that meatballs
that's
would
really
be so
funny.
Weird? That's hilarious.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Big plate of Ketzitzot. It's the news brought to you by...
Scott, did you know that Ultron once destroyed a fake European country in less than 3 hours?
I was aware of that. Thank you so much. That's literally what they wrote for their segment.
Thanks. That's great.
That's not me making that up.
It's not. Is that part of like the other... One of the other sponsors? Or
nope.
Are we not getting any sort of payoff from that?
Nope. Just that's it.
$10 just to poke the tiger.
Yep. Just poke it with a stick. Good deal. What are we doing here? We got some stuff. We got some things. We don't have a ton of time, but we'll get through these. In Disney. Oh, Disney, dude. Disney.
Yeah.
There's a rumor floating around. This is pretty weird that they're planning both a Star Wars and a Marvel TV channel. Two channels, one dedicated to each.
Oh,
that sounds insane.
My 13-year-old self just booped his pants.
Yeah. And my 45-year-old self is going, You guys are overdoing it. Don't overdo it.
Yeah.
Because how can you do this? All right, here's the deal. So there's an investor's call last week with Bob Iger, CEO of Disney. And he casually brought up the prospect of creating TV channels for both Star Wars and Marvel. As many of you probably already know, Disney has a lot of channels, such as ESPN, ABC, Disney, Disney XD, Disney Junior, and so on. Adding to a couple more in the mix isn't going to hurt. Daily Finance had a quote from Iger, which reads, quote, "We have said that these channels and these brands, ESPN, ABC, and so on, may even down the road, something related to Star Wars and Marvel. We do have an ability as a company to take product, specifically filmed entertainment, television, movies, directly to our consumers." Well, I'd hope so.
Well, yeah.
That sounds like a dumb thing to say to your investors.
We can show things.
Yeah, we make TV. We make them go.
The ability as a company to take product, especially filmed entertainment, television, movies, directly to consumers.
Let's just say Star Trek, because actually the Marvel one makes sense to me, because you could have cartoon programming for kids, you could have primetime stuff.
But that's
their series.
Thing, though.
Yeah,
they don't own, you know, like 24 hours of a Marvel channel. Sure, they've got the movies, right? And they've got the newer stuff that's like the superhero squad and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But how much of that stuff, how much of the previous Marvel programming would Disney own? They wouldn't be able to show like X-Men Evolution or...
No, none of the X-Men stuff would be possible. They would be able to, unless they struck a deal, but it would be possible for them to re-air previous seasons, for example, of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or they could potentially
Agent Carter.
Joint cast all this Netflix stuff.
What about, you're not going to get Daredevil on... A Disney.
That's
a
true.
Branded by Disney. No.
Well, what if they're not? But what if they're not branded by Disney? Because technically, Disney did the Netflix one. I mean, that's the parent company there. So they could do it at night. Like in other words, why not? Why couldn't it be? I'm not saying as extreme as HBO, but like HBO had Fraggle Rock in the morning, and you know, freaking Sex Cab Confessionals or whatever at night.
Sure. Yeah, but that's pay cable. I mean. Yeah, maybe, but what about things like, could they get their hands on the old Spider-Man TV show, the Incredible Hulk, Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno thing?
Probably totally could, yeah. Yeah. I mean, ABC owns. I think ABC owns that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Dice Tomato probably has a good point that it's probably not. It wouldn't be 24 hours. It'd be like commercial programming from 2 to 6 a.m.
You know, yeah, true. He probably, but see, like, what a great place for more Stan Lee reality TV, or what a good place for, you know, they could really mix it up. It's the Star Wars channel I question. Now, while they would own everything to do with Star Wars, and therefore they could put whatever they want on there, what does your original programming look like over there? Are there multiple series based in this universe? Is that too thin of a thing?
They've got Rebels currently.
That's true.
They could air Clone Wars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's certainly room and probably something I would watch for a talk show, like a Star Wars, I don't want to say talk show, but like a comic book men kind of thing for Star Wars.
Sure. Oh, yeah, sure. Like there's a lot of reality TV opportunities.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing a procedural crime drama set in the Star Wars universe.
That would be cool. That would be really cool.
Yeah, some like you know, Imperial inspectors whose job it is to hunt down weird Imperial problems.
did Attack of the Clones? No, was it Attack of the Clones? What was the that was the second one? What was that Coruscant or not? Coruscant that Obi-Wan was chasing the bounty hunter.
Yes.
Yeah, that was Coruscant
in the city with the.
There you go. You got CSI Coruscant.
Yeah. I would watch that.
Law and Order, Coruscant.
Yep. Totally, dude. I'm telling you, there's opportunities in that space that they're thinking of if this is a thing they'd really do. Or this could be him just going, you know, we really could do anything in the future. Imagine this, and that's all that'll ever come of it. That's possible.
I think I'd be okay with that.
Scott Johnson, there was a recent comic series about an Imperial agent. Yes, that's true. Like comic books, there are many examples of them doing this very thing with Star Wars, offshooting it in weird ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dark Horse. All that stuff that faded out in the great lore revamp of 2012. Mm-hmm.
The Great Reset.
The Great Reset, right.
David Brent movies Life on the Road is confirmed. This is now going to be made, a movie starring Ricky Gervais, written by him, called David Brent, Life on the Road, confirmed for 2016. His much-loved and much-hated The Office character David Brent returning to his very own cinematic spinoff. Let's see, August 2016 will release in the UK. We assume we'll get it shortly after. Skipping ahead here. Gervais is the writer and star of the film, also boasting composing credits on the movie. He has written yet more classics to rival the likes of the infamous Equality Street and the aforementioned Free Love Freeway. So he's writing more of those weird David Brent songs.
Right, which is great.
No official word whether or not co-creator Stephen Merchant is involved in any way. I get the impression that those two don't hang out anymore.
Really?
I don't know why I feel that way. Because there's nothing. Yeah. Think about it. Since the little shorty guy thing and the Idiot Abroad series.
Right, Warwick Davis.
Yeah, Warwick Davis on Life's Too Short or whatever.
Right.
They haven't done anything together at all.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen Merchant's been busy with that Hello Ladies series, which was excellent, by the way.
Totally his own thing and very funny. He was in a video game in Portal 2. He was in something. Oh, he was in that lip sync deal that's on now on Spike.
Was Stephen Merchant not involved with Derek?
No, not at all. Hmm. That's the weird bit. Like, I feel like that collaboration may have hit a thing and no one's talking about it.
Lennon McCartney breaking up, you know?
Right. I don't like it. I don't like the sound of it.
I don't like it at all.
He probably should just come out and say something if it's not true, because it just feels that way, but whatever. I'd see that movie. It sounds fine. Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
The king of awkward making a movie.
Yeah. Look at that. Like nothing as far as writer, just Hello Ladies, the movie, Hello Ladies. He actually wrote a lot of the... Oh, no, he's just listed as creator. Okay, I was going to say, wow, the U.S. office lists him, but of course, just as a, you know, the office characters created by so-and-so, you know, Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
So I did a look here. Mega Millionaire Gervais sells out Stephen Merchant. What is this? Ooh, we're getting into some stinky business here.
Oh, no, really?
Ricky Gervais, blessed sitcom world, The Office, brilliant shows. But it seems he's forgotten what made him great as he threw his longtime friend and comedy partner Stephen Merchant under the bus. Comic genius and self-professed egomaniac Ricky Gervais is the creator of the international... I don't care about that. Stephen Merchant came up with Ricky first. Ricky has plugged his books. He's not getting to the point. he's worth, it looks like Ricky Gervais is worth about $80 million. There's no mention of Merchant on his website anymore. Yeah, it doesn't say. This article's very like, yeah, we think he's being a turd, but it doesn't actually confirm anything. Hmm. Anyway, whatever. Why I dumped Ricky Gervais for Carl Pilkington. What?
Yeah, last thing. So Cemetery Junction was one of the last things they worked on together in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Cook, Felicity Jones, Tom Hughes. I've never even heard of this thing.
Hmm.
Ray Fiennes.
Let's see. Yeah, I can't find anything else. Someone else. So you guys want to do a little research project for us? You find out how that relationship's going? Because I'd be curious about it. Anyway, there you go.
Wow.
Teenagers in the news.
Okay. Teenagers and their express knowledge of birth control and sodas.
Yep. And their reaction with one another. This one was kept awake for a week to stop a parasite from burrowing into his eyeball.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That sounds all right. No sleep and a bug in your eye. Doctors have forced a student to stay awake for a week to prevent a parasite from burrowing into his eyeball. Jessica Greeny, age 18, had eye drops administered every 10 minutes for 7 days in a row. Doctors found a small worm-like creature in her left eye from a contact lens. That's where she got it. By the way, people who suck on their contact lenses to clean them and then put them back in, you're part of the problem. Miss Greenlee, a first-year English student at the University of Nottingham, was told she had the parasite, which is called Acanthamoeba keratitis.
Acanthamoeba keratitis.
Thank you. In her eye, after a drop of tap water splashed on her contact lens. Wow, what's wrong with your water over there, man?
Jeez, yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, they had to keep her awake, and it survived because... Oh, it survived. The parasite survived in the area between the lens and the outer eye. Ugh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, scientists, work on that.
You
please.
Like that one? Yeah. That's a good one.
Figure out how to put that stuff in contact, you know, something to immediately kill that in contact lens solution, please.
Immediately.
Drop whatever you are working on and work on that.
Nothing else is important right now. The store, final news, the store FAO Schwartz, it's a toy story, or toy, st- I did it
See?
Too. It's a toy
See? Not
store.
Hard, not easy to do, is
it's
it?
Not, it really isn't. You're totally right. This is on New York City's Fifth Avenue. We'll be closing its door this summer. It is its last remaining location, by the way, of the iconic toy brand, and it closes after 145 years in business.
Wow.
It was founded in that location, or had a location, not the exact one, in 1870. But on July 15th, flagship location will close because their higher rents in the prime shopping district and competition from online retailers have finally forced them to do what they had to do. Toys R Us, which now owns FAO Schwartz, that's interesting, will continue to sell boutique brands in its own stores, but the company has troubles of its own. So, you know what? This is just like the sign of things. Stores dedicated to nothing but kids' toys? I don't know how that's a thing at all anymore.
You know, it's funny because it's... Toys are one of those things that if you've got kids and they're demanding something, you need to buy them immediately and you can't wait for like an Amazon 2-day delivery. But I guess just with things like Target and Walmart and, you know, stores like that having just about everything you'd want, having a dedicated store for that sort of thing, it's like, all right, if I need something specialty, board game or something like that, there's other places I can get it, especially online.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes me kind of sad, but at the same time, it's the way of things. It's the way stuff moves. Excuse me. It's the same thing that's happened and is still happening to the electronics retailers of the world. And, you know, the fact that Best Buy has somehow survived it all, I still can't figure out. I also cannot figure out for the life of me how GameSpot, or Stop rather, has managed to stay relevant and have money. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Well, it's because people see it as a place to sell their old games, and I'd say that's probably a good portion of their business is people just saying, you know what, I need money right now for that. I'm done with these games. Let me bring those in.
Money.
And that's probably, man, It is a sad thing, though. I've been to that FAO Schwartz.
Oh, that one in New York?
That one in New York. It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
They even have a little display with the keyboard that Tom Hanks danced on in Big.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's right. There's your Schwartz reference.
Yeah.
Oh, may the Schwartz be with you, everyone. I got to give Thorin credit for that. That was something he said in the chat room. Made me laugh. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's show with 5 great styles, 7 great colors, and all kinds of stuff designed to sound great with your music and talk. Engineer for durability, wonderful replacements for your default earbuds. Noise reduction is key, and a lifetime warranty included with all. Go to Tweaked Audio. That's right, tweakedaudio.com. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off your next pair of audio quality earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bill, Jury, and more. But first, songs. What do you have?
Cool. So remind me, S or K did I say first?
You said S and K, so I think S.
Yeah, S in the middle. Good, yeah. Okay. Hello, Mr. Scott and Mr. Brian.
Hi.
On the 19th of May, my wife and I will be celebrating our second anniversary, and this is our song. I listen every day and have been trying to convert her over to podcasts as a major media intake like me, and this request might just seal the deal. Thank you for everything you guys do with the network, and have a great day, Zach from Ohio.
Mm.
Now, the song he wants is I Won't Give Up on Us, originally by Jason Mraz. He doesn't know of any covers of it, and he says, I'm leaving it up to you. If you don't have any covers of that, I leave it up to you in your creativeness. Yeah, I don't have any covers of I Won't Give Up on Us, and I wasn't able to find any that I like. So I will do another cover by Jason Mraz, and this is a good one, and hopefully you find it as enjoyable. This is something he recorded for the soundtrack to the TV show Everwood, which was a really cool soundtrack, all covers, back in 2004. It's a cover of a Seals and Crofts song from the 70s called Summer Breeze. It's Jason Mraz.
If you have Everwood, go see a doctor. All right, here we go. It's Summer Breeze. We'll see you in a minute.
Curtains hanging in the waiting door in the evening on a Friday night. A little light shining through the window lets me know that everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through my mind. Makes me feel fine, blowing through my, making me feel right, making me feel fine, make me feel right, blowing through the jasmine in my paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. Who lives next door? So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and then across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through my mind. Summer breeze that makes me feel fine, blowing. Yeah, you're making me feel right. Making me feel fine. Make me feel right. Blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Sweet days of summer. The jasmine's in bloom. July is just over and playing a tune. When I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there. Yes, you're waiting there without a care in the world. Ooh, I see the smile. I
waiting in the kitchen. A food a cooking and the plates are there for two. You, you're a pool. I feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through. Come on home soon. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through my mind. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through my, making me feel right, making me feel fine, make me feel right, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Tasting, what we do is take a small amount right off the top. It doesn't take much. That's the warmest part right here. I'm going to invert the spoon. Cover all 9,000 taste bud. Aerate it. Warm it up. Driving up that top note, that cream, pure vanilla, sweeteners. That's a 10.
Don't wash your hands and sit here and stare at me.
This is the Morning Stream. Do you want to fight about it? Because I swear to God, I will kick your ass.
Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the show, everybody. That's good advice from Wendy.
Don't wash your hands and sit here and stare at me.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I don't even know. Don't wash your hands and stare at me.
Yeah, she was saying last week it was actually her example of what a therapist wouldn't do if somebody had OCD. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah, the forced therapy.
Yeah, but as I
to do the thing that freaks them out.
As I have presented it out of context, it is much more funny. thank you so much, everybody, for hanging out and waiting for us, because now it's time for us to bring people in here. There's no way around it.
Nope.
Speaking of contests, we weren't talking about contests, but I'll say that anyway. I've been working on doing a Heroes of the Storm competition,
tournament.
Like a tournament.
Yeah.
And Bo Schwartz, a.k.a. Gorath, who's in the chat room right now, has been working on sort of structure for this thing. Guy's a freaking animal. Oh my
cool.
gosh. He knows exactly Very what to cool. do, which is great because I have no idea how to organize such a thing. So we're going to work together, make it work. Going to be awesome.
By the time that happens, and I'm sure it's going to be soon, I might be at a point where I'd like to jump in with Zeratul, because I've been played a little bit more with Zeratul and looked at Heroes Fire. I'm like, oh yeah, that's the way to use those two things as a combo.
See,
yeah, it's clicking for me, man.
Yeah, good.
Damn it,
it's clicking for me too. Ooh, my mouse clicked something. That means Bill Duran's here. Hi, Bill.
Whoa.
Hey.
Whoa. Yeah.
Joey. Whoa.
Bill, what's going on? How are you?
Good day, gentlemen. I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
That's doing okay. It's Bill Duran. He is one half of a set of twins that has nothing to do with this particular segment, but I always like to mention
nope.
it.
But it's interesting nonetheless.
Yeah. He is here on the show to do Fitness Geek. It's a segment we do each Tuesday where we talk about the nerd lifestyle and how to be healthier within it. And Bill probably brought a big bag of great ideas today with him. What do you got for us, man?
I did. I have two things I want to talk about. Number one, where does the fat go? When you lose weight, where does it go?
Well, I guess it just sort of dissipates and
evaporates.
That's a really good question. Let's think about this.
It's burned as energy, right?
Is it? But where? But
well, where does it go?
But where does it go? Because it has to leave something.
You use it. It's like saying, where does fuel go? It's burned in the process of
So I guess it goes into the atmosphere and it is currently warming our planet.
So is that we fart it out? Do we shat it upon the land? Like, where does it go?
It's weird. There's an episode of you guys ever watched the show Good Eats?
Yeah.
Brown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
He's awesome. One of my heroes. He has an episode called Live and Let Diet because he's a clever man.
Yeah, he likes those puns.
Oh yeah. He lost something like 50 pounds. So to represent that, he got a 50-pound block of lard, put it on the table in front of him, and it was big. It was really big. And you would think, if you had to make that vanish, how would you do it, right?
Yeah.
Would you just scoop hunks of it off and throw it at people?
Slowly carry it out in your shoes and dump it out in the
prison yard. Yeah. So is it you said converted into energy or converted into muscle? Those are some common ideas.
Mountain Dew is what people in the chat room are saying.
So according to someone who knows what he's talking about, this guy named Andrew Brown from the University of New South Wales, there we go, published in the British Medical Journal, apparently your fat is breathed out as carbon dioxide. You exhale.
Oh, really?
It.
Wow.
Yes. So, let's
gross.
See here.
That's gross.
Oh, yeah. You like that?
It's breathed out as a gas. There's nothing gross about that.
You get fat breath, just bleh. Come here. Give me a kiss.
Breath smells like fat.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. Losing 10 kilograms of fat requires you to inhale 29 kilograms of oxygen, exhale 28 carbons of CO2, and 11 kilograms of water. So most of what you lose is carbon dioxide and the rest is water that is excreted as urine, feces, sweat, breath, and tears.
Sweat breath. Right. I like that you didn't pause between sweat and breath. So it's sweat breath.
Yeah. That's what I like too. Yeah. How'd you get so thin, man? I cried myself thin.
Yeah.
Just we call it a cry-it.
Yeah.
Cry-it. Nicely done. You're Alton Brown. Oh my gosh, I've been podcasting with Alton Brown.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's how apparently that's the recent findings this guy's made, is that your weight, the carbon dioxide through all the chemical processes in your body gets turned into carbon dioxide and then you burp it out.
Wow, that is unexpected news, honestly. When you asked the question at first, I thought I was going to be able to just spout out some obvious answer, and as I thought more about it, I've never known how fat escapes. I know you can burn it, but burn it to what? Well, apparently to a semi-liquidic gas that then comes out of your mouth, and don't breathe on me ever again, anyone, basically, because I don't want your fat breath. Ugh.
No one wants fat breath.
That's freaking me out. How do you lose weight?
Remember actually a while back I watched a video. This guy was talking about how he weighed himself at night before he went to bed and then in the morning right away, and he had noticed that he would lose weight during the night. And the assumption was that he was losing weight through his breath, through the moisture and carbon dioxide and everything that you exhale. So that's another little interesting
a tidbit. Man, you're like science man today.
Well, I have more.
Oh my gosh, keep it coming. I can't. I'm ready. My receptacle is open.
All right, I ordered some new weights for lifting, for pumping the iron.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm excited. You guys ever seen the adjustable dumbbells?
Yeah, ones with the little clicker. Well, you put it down, and then you can decide how much you want, and you lift it up, and it leaves weight there. And
that's right.
Yeah.
I ordered the Bowflex Select Tech Adjustable Dumbbells.
Yeah. See, I've always heard those are pretty good brand-wise, even though people kind of – I think we all have kind of a sense that Bowflex is like a late-night TV infomercial and therefore not to be trusted, but those are well-reviewed.
They are. I ordered mine on Amazon because I read the reviews. It has 4.5 stars, and everyone's like – they're not cheap, which is why it took so long for me to actually throw down the cash.
Yeah.
They're something like $300, but I finally saved up, ordered them. They're on their way here, and I'm really excited to check them out. It saves on space. You only need one set of dumbbells. And the best part is when you're lifting weights, you should be adjusting how much weight you're lifting so that you're maximizing, your effort put into it.
Sure.
And not a lot of people do that. And I know I'm guilty of this too. I'll put in the effort to lift weights, but if I have to unscrew the sides of it, pull some plates off, put some different plates on to adjust my dumbbells by 2.5 pounds, I'm like, ah, you know what? I'll just leave what's on there.
Right. I'll do that tomorrow.
That's interesting. The convenience factor probably does have a much wider effect because you're increasing people's chances of refining their workouts and incrementing them and changing them up and, you know, creating an overall less sort of, you're taking the dumb out of dumbbell. How you like that?
There you go.
Write that one down. Wow. That's pretty good.
So these guys here go from 5 to 52.5 pounds for each hand. And from 5 to 20, it goes in increments in 2.5 pounds, which is good. You have that fine level of adjustment.
Yeah.
Then after that, it's every 5 pounds. And 5 pounds can make a big difference, especially from one hand. So let's say you did one sort of exercise and you switched to a different exercise and you should drop the weight by 5 pounds. And you're like, you know what? I don't want to be doing that. I'll just suck it up and try and lift more weight than I should. Then you risk hurting yourself. Then you don't get a good workout just because you were lazy. Yeah. So hopefully this will. And again, I'm totally guilty of that. So I'm excited. I ordered them yesterday. They'll be here by next week. So I'll play with them a bit and I'll report back.
Well, are they on sale still? Can you still get them? They are
for sale on the Amazon Bowflex Select Tech.
But they're not necessarily like discounted right now.
No, they're not. There's no discount.
Select Tech 552. Oh yeah, those are expensive. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Worth it though, man. If you care about your upper body.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I ended up getting like my credit card earns me points that automatically get dumped into my Amazon account, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, there's enough money in there to get those weights. So that's what I ended up doing.
People really do like these, jeez.
They do, yeah. And it's not just that they're good reviews. There's a lot of them. There's like 2,000 reviews or something.
This is a good one. Dangerous, says one of these reviews. I'll read a negative one for you. In 2009 is an old one. It says, mine are 9 months old, and I used about 4 hours a week with the right home use. Last month's one of the 5-pound plates just fell off. The little plastic rib that holds it together chipped off. Replacement was $32. It's happening again today. But I was on a bench and it hit me in the face. Help, it's happening. You know what? I got to play it. I can't help it. Oh, I don't have it. Oh, well.
When fitness strikes back.
Shoot, I don't have it. I guess I
That's all right.
Anyway, all right. Here's the important point. Bill's always got something good to bring to the show, and that's always very nice. And we love having you on. Is there anything else happening in your world that people can go check out and learn more about Bill Durant?
Oh, certainly. Actually, my most recent project, if you go to youtube.com/punishprops, you can go check it out. I built the bow from the new Tomb Raider game for the folks over at Crystal Dynamics. Mm-hmm. It's all done.
Mm.
There's a full build video up there. I worked very hard on it, so please go look at it. It's a lot of work, but it's done.
Yeah, it's beautiful, too. And you can tell a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Went in
that. Not
breath.
That many tears.
Yeah.
Carbon dioxide
breath.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm so Bill, just a small note, two things. One, the film I will not mention its name of again because people are mad at me for talking so much about it. Yeah. But the prop opportunities and cosplay opportunities, holy crap.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting until next weekend.
You're going to flip out and want to make everything you see.
Yeah, my shot mate went to see it twice, I think, already, and I'm telling him to shut up. I'm like, dude, I get it.
Yeah.
Jeez, I'll go next weekend.
I can't wait to see what you make out of it. Second thing I was going to say is I did pick up The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, and also many opportunities in The Witcher 3.
Scott's like basically saying, I'd like you to make me some things from the movie we just saw and from this game.
And from this video game. And from life itself. It's Bill Durant, everybody. Chinbeard on Twitter. Punishprops.com for all details. Bill, have a great day, and we'll see you soon.
Next week.
Bye now. All right. Off he goes.
Nice.
Into the wild bluest yonder. Oh, look at this, Brian. Here you go.
Help! Help! It's happening!
There it is.
Found it. Okay.
They fell off my dumbbell and wrecked my busket.
Busket, dude. Best thing in that movie.
Yes.
The busket. All right, who am I calling here? Justin. I know him. I am familiar with him. We'll see what he wants to talk about.
I have no idea.
Zero expectation. We haven't had any previous conversations to indicate one way or the other.
So we don't know what he's going to want to talk about. It could be anything.
Yeah. Could be how foreskin is a terrible chewing gum. It
sure.
Could be...
He could talk about his own experiences using Mountain Dew as a contraceptive.
Right. He would soak it. would soak his beard in it.
I soak my beard in it, yeah. You would say.
Yeah, sure. All right, the dots are rising. That seems to indicate some activity. But no answer yet. We've not spoken, so who, for all I know, he's...
Where are you at with Mad Men, by the way?
I'm never been further than the first couple of episodes of season two. So I am so far back that I'm actually very much looking forward to binging our way all the way through.
That's a great... Yeah, that would be a great one to binge watch because it... The storylines move kind of slow. They're paced very well.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing them all at once actually would be a really good way to watch it.
Kind of what we figured. So that's how we're going to approach it. We're starting that soon. Up. It'll be good.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, join me and this guy
in
welcoming Justin Robert Young to the call. Hey, Justin.
Oh, man. What the hell are you guys talking about? Because there's always like this dark side of the moon moment between when I'm listening to the stream and when you call me. And normally it's fairly consistent, but now you guys went on like an entirely different train of thought.
So Brian went right from, it was pretty sudden, but we were waiting for your call to get answered. And he kind of said, hey, where are you with Mad Men? Kind of randomly and out
talking
of nowhere.
Talking about how we just had the finale this last weekend and... Yeah. Curious as to how caught up he is on that.
Yeah, because I'm only first part of season two on that. I never went past it, and now Kim and I are loading up to, like, binge the whole thing through now.
Yeah, me and Ash were talking about that. I think I left off in... I got halfway through the two-parter in Hawaii.
Mm. Mm. Oh, right. I think that's where I got to.
That's where when Don found the tiki idol and it was bad luck and had the tarantula crawling up him and
the one and Alice was a real hoot in that episode, as I recall.
Right. Yeah. And he's like, it's me versus the volcano.
Yep. And then it was wah, 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 wah. it was the sad music when they came back from the commercial music, right? Yeah, it was bad. You're about where I ended too, and it's not that I didn't like it. I was actually quite enjoying it. I don't know, for whatever reason, it felt like the kind of thing that I would just I'd get back to it, is how I felt at the time.
Yeah, you know, it is, here's the problem, is the rest of TV got really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
And, like, what was great about Mad Men was, you know, in a simpler time for television, in a post-Sopranos world, it actually seemed, compared to Sopranos, it seemed like fast-paced and a lot of things happened, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, it's... Yeah, that was the big thing with Mad Men, is that you'll get there, but it's going to take a while.
Exactly. And it's funny that that's... I mean, and that's probably a better way to look at it, right? That's probably a truer way to assess its pacing. But, you know, in a pre, like, let's say, Breaking Bad world, it was like, oh, great. Like, there's a lot of... There's, like, movement here that, you know, where in The Sopranos, it's like, as soon as David Chase sort of got bored with, you know, the mob whack-em-up, you know, power struggle stuff, you know, whenever his eye would wander off that ball, that show got really ponderous.
Mm-hmm.
Really, 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 really ponderous. Mm-hmm. And, like, similarly with Mad Men, with Matthew Weiner, when it ventured away from the intrigue of Don's double life and some of that stuff. And you know, its eye wandered off to, like, hey, let's watch advertising people do advertising things. Or maybe it's more base, you know, entourage for older people kind of aesthetic of, you know, scotch and hookers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it is interesting, you know, to look at it through the glass, the spy glass of what else was happening in TV when this
that
hit.
Pulled you away from it. Yeah,
you know, Breaking Bad, and you could name a million shows that just sort of made you go, oh wow, yeah, this is okay. I'm looking over here now. Oh, I'm distracted now by this, and by the time you get through Game of Thrones season three, you're just like, Mad Who, you know, in a way.
So you want to know what? Let's actually go there.
Oh, all
are
right.
We all up to date on the Game of the Thrones?
We are. Yeah. I don't know how many listeners are, but we can discuss it.
Let's have a larger conversation that will kind of touch on something that happened. Now, you guys see that site, the Mary Sue?
The Mary Sue so here was the news about that. They put up a tweet.
Not enough of it.
They put up a tweet saying, we are no longer supporting or covering anything to do with Game of Thrones based on the last episode that they saw.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So they're
this
out.
This is the pop culture like news site, right? The
yeah, yeah, certainly. You know, a lady leaning. You know, and I don't think it would be talking out of school to say, you know, politically feminist. You know, I think it's a great site. You know, I find myself there often. Yeah, not necessarily for like regular reading, but certainly for links that get circulated around. They do mm-hmm. a very good job.
Sure.
They announce that, like Scott said, that they're no longer going to be covering anything to do with Game of Thrones, including like trailers and certainly not episode recaps, stuff like that. And this is because of the way that the last episode ended. Now, I don't think we need to go into necessarily exactly what happened.
Yeah.
To whom or how it went down, but it is the second big scene in which a woman was raped.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now this happens previously, and I kind of feel like that some of this backlash that is coming toward it now is really backlash from the fact that they went back there after the last time that this happened, which I think was far more problematic.
Remind me the one that they're referring to as the first one.
The brother sister,
sure,
Cersei yeah. and Jaime.
Oh, because I thought the controversy there was that in the book it was actual. Guys, we're going to talk about serious subject here for a second. So if you got kids in the room, maybe not. Okay, just saying.
Yeah,
listeners. Mm-hmm. And this jaunty jazz music behind us is really helping the tone. I'm going to say that it was a lot of controversy seemed to be mostly that book readers were mad that it was less rapey than...
No.
Is it
no,
the other no, way around?
No, no. The problem was this. In the book, there is, after a long time apart, Cersei and Jaime meet back up. Now, this wasn't what happened in the show. Jaime came back earlier. But in the book, that is their first meeting with each other in, you know, a long time apart. Jaime was not there for the death of what we know to be their son. And in, you know, this grief / dominance, you know, weird moment, Jaime initiates sex. Cersei is initially reluctant, but is then into it. In this version of it, the show's version, it is far more, if even just for not having Cersei say I'm into it, you know, or give verbal indications that this is the kind of thing that she is into, it comes off as rapey.
Mm-hmm.
It comes off as rape. And
sure.
The show was very ambiguous about it. The creators were ambiguous about it. And later they kind of acknowledged and realized that this was a lot more problematic. And let's, again, two gigantic qualifiers. A, probably this is not the jury segment for your kids. And two, we understand that artists have the right to do any art they want and that challenging art is meant to be challenging. And oftentimes these themes are used to make us uncomfortable. And so if it does that, that means that it is doing its job.
Mm.
But it is hard when a character who has been, despite despicable, kind of redeemed in our eyes over the past few seasons, goes into that scene being the good guy, and on the other end of it is the good guy that we're supposed to root for. You know, without much of a change, you know, while that happens. And so that, I think, was very sticky. And what they are paying for now, the show, with people who would like to be critical of it, is the fact that in this scene on Sunday, I think it is far clearer where they want to go. It is certainly executed, you know, there was a clear aggressor and a clear victim.
Mm-hmm.
And it is portrayed far more straightforward, but the fact that they went back to that well
yeah.
is problematic for people.
Yeah, a lot of people are having a hard time with it. If you just do a cursory search on Google, you'll find a million blogs and a million people just falling apart over it, being very upset about it. I was upset about it from the perspective that I think they wanted me to be, which was, again, I don't want to spoil this episode for those who care, but I was upset because I really have grown to care about that character.
Yes.
In ways that are very, I don't know, it reminds me how I care about my kids or something like that. You just feel like there's a soul to this person. This is a good, one of the good guys, one of the very few left in Westeros, to be honest. You know, Ned Stark started a cavalcade of good people going away, and she's one of the few that are left. And to see her treated in that way, despite the fact that I knew that the Boltons are the biggest douchebags on earth, you know,
I mean, he is the biggest monster on the show in the absence of Joffrey, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Which is ironic because he probably had the most soul in that British show about superhero kids. What was that called?
Misfits.
Misfits. He probably had the most conscience. And
right, he was the moral center of that group.
Yeah, and to see him in this way, portrayed in this way, is really, really kind of hard to watch. I think I understand the outrage. I certainly understand the outrage. I totally get why people are upset.
Well, the outrage seems to center on two things.
Yeah.
The first is that this does not happen in the books.
Yeah.
Let me say both, and then I'll qualify it, because I do want to honor both of these complaints, because I think that they are both valid if you have them.
And we should probably say that if you are a Game of Thrones watcher, but you haven't watched the most recent episode, or you're sensitive to spoilers, there is the chance that something might slip out in our discussion.
You want to know what? Everyone should stop listening. Literally, just let me and Scott and Brian talk. Can you please stop intruding?
Yeah, give us a minute, everybody. Give us a minute.
Let's chat about this. Talk amongst yourselves for about 20 minutes.
I mean, all right, yeah. So here's, if you have not read the books and not watch all the series, and you don't want to have a substantive discussion about very mature themes in television, then you should probably turn it off, unless you have a high tolerance for something that might be spoiled.
But do come back, because we have this super rad Patreon thing to tell you about after Justin's gone. So don't leave entirely. Just skip way ahead. All right.
Exactly. Okay. Wow, I didn't realize that I was completely salting the earth for a plug that you guys have coming up.
Thanks a lot.
I haven't listened to the show today, so I hope you just teased it since from the first segment.
We did. Like, we got into the top of the show stuff, and I said, "Hey, don't leave everybody, because at the bottom of today's show we have big news." That's the truth.
Anyway, about the challenging subject of sexual assault.
Got it.
So, all right. So the two things are, it doesn't happen in the books, and that this scene is not only exploitative on a level where it doesn't have to be, but almost more offensively, it is more about the other person in the room, the third person in the room, than it is about the victim of the assault.
Sure.
Who happens to be a man while the victim of the assault is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the two things I tend to have problems, with both of them, with the gigantic understanding and caveat that I think it is not, I would not like to invalidate anybody's opinion or anything. I think that anybody who is offended by it should have a right to be offended by it. And that's fine. Here are my thoughts. A, it doesn't happen in the books. Well, yes and no. This doesn't happen to Sansa.
It happens to a
books,
different character, yes. Mm-hmm.
But they have combined that other character and Sansa. In the effort of condensing an extraordinarily long story into a shorter story, they have had to keep the actors for which we care about relevant in the story. George R. R. Martin tells an extraordinarily sprawling story that even as he should be condensing his universe, seems content to continue to add not only new characters, but new major characters.
Yeah, he does the opposite.
Are going to spend time with.
Sure.
The show does not have that luxury. You know, there's only going to be X amount of time. They have to keep all these people, all these balls in the air. And they can't afford to just kind of put them on the shelf, even as they've already done that with Bran and Hodor this season.
Yeah, that's true.
So they can't do that with more than one of their main threads. So they have to combine this. Now, does this exactly happen to the Jane Poole character in the books? No, not as I remember it. But it's not so far off that that it's, you know, the worst thing in you know, the biggest artistic license in the world. And then the second, which is that this is more about Theon than it is about Sansa. I did not read it like that. Now, art is subjective. Everybody has their own reading on it. But when Theon is the last face you see before they go to black, I saw that more as an artistic decision that like the eye of the camera can't bear to see Sansa in pain. So it is cutting to something else. Mm-hmm. And Theon is a more interesting thing than, let's say, a candle next to the bed.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I read it. But I don't know. How did you guys read it?
I read it as I was horrified in the fiction, but
in the
show, the fiction's okay. Being presented to me,
right?
I am horrified by what that douchebag's doing. Mm-hmm. I am horrified by the fact that I really feel this weird protectiveness over the Stark girls. Call it dad with two daughters syndrome or something. I don't know.
Absolutely.
So I feel that just kind of innately. And then, so that's being dashed, you know, it's just making me want to kill that dude.
Yes.
Just want to take him and kill him.
Which I think is the intended artistic.
I think that is what they're, well, obviously it absolutely is. So if you're asking me, do I think that this is glorifying rape or violence against anybody?
No. I don't think that the complaint is more that, the one that I've seen articulated is that this is more about this act is making Theon sad or mad than this is happening to Sansa.
Oh, I see. So it's diminishing that's where it's important. I think they're doing two things at once.
So it's more to advance Theon's storyline than it is to
advance Sansa's. Did you guys, was that your interpretation?
My interpretation isn't that it was more. My interpretation is that it was simultaneous and a way. This let me tell you something I think is totally true, whether they meant it to be or subconscious or not. The producers, directors, makers of this episode cut away when HBO is often not cutting away from such things. Mm-hmm. They are cutting away because of what's happening to this character everyone loves. They're not cutting away because they have standards that say we should cut away when depicting such an act, because they do that all the time in lots of shows.
Yeah.
That's not a thing they shy away from. They're shying away from it, and for all I know, the actress has a clause in her contract that says, "Look, I'm not going to go as far as you sometimes have people go." I don't know.
Yeah.
But the fact that they cut that away and cut over to Theon is doing two things. One, it's saying, "Yeah, we can't even show you. It's worse that we're not showing you because it's so terrible what's being done to her, and this guy is such the worst thing ever that we're not even. Part of the artistic thing is to cut away and have you go." I know what's happening here, and I cannot stand it. And now we're going to also show you Theon,
how it's affecting his
point of view and where this is putting him mentally after all he's been through as Reek and all this other stuff. Like, there's two things happening. I don't know that I would weigh one over the other. I mean, I think I already am weighing one over the other, and that is the violent act towards her is what really is pissing me off.
Yeah,
Theon was a douche before entering this fray. Mm-hmm. No pun intended with the fray name. but you know what I mean? Like, he entered this in a way that, you know, he's a complete douche as it is. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, I'm like, I'm not saying he's getting what he deserves. I'm saying that. I'm saying here's yet another layer of destruction in the life of this once proud ward of Papa Stark. And yeah. Now he's in this mess. But I never once went, oh, they're cutting to Theon? What, am I supposed to only care about him and not what's happening in there? Is this his problem and it's not hers? Like, I never said that. Time I am fixated on, oh my gosh, if I was there, dude, I would take Misfits boy outside and I'd flay that man.
Yeah.
He'd be the flayed man at that point.
What were your thoughts, Ryan?
Say pretty much the same thing. I mean, I didn't see it kind of along the same lines as Scott. I didn't see it as trying to diminish what was happening to Sansa by showing Theon. And it is, you know, even knowing that is going on when you're looking at Theon is just as horrifying as seeing the act itself, because you know what's going on and you hear the screams of the sounds. And it may be even more horrifying. I don't know. I mean, it's a horrifying thing, and it's hard to say more horrifying or less horrifying. The added impact of Theon's perception, obviously, you know, this is something that is fictional. It's something that did not really happen. It did not really happen to the actress who plays Sansa. It did not really, you know, the kid who played Misfits is an actor. He's playing a role, etc. But the emotional impact that this is having definitely makes me feel like, all right, there will have to be some ramifications for this in the show.
Ramsifications.
Ramsifications.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To continue our portmanteau special episode. And it's something that's compelling. I mean, I want to know, you know, how the fallout is going to happen after this. And there needs to be fallout from this, obviously.
Yeah, I think there's a desire by some who want everyone to be horrified by this on a very social level that is supposed to tell me that I somehow thought this was cool, or I somehow thought this was acceptable or whatever. Well, that this no, somehow I, glorified I mean, or whatever.
Yeah, this is not. I don't think that this is about whether or not it shows a troubling side of where people should look at these kinds of events. Although I think the last one did. The last one was mm-hmm. something where, you know, the question of like, well, I don't know, was it really rape? Like, you know, is mm-hmm. was more a possible question than this one. This is pretty fairly clearly a despicable act. The larger thing, and let's even pull further out, and this is something that I absolutely believe in, is I think we tend to have a, not a problem, but I would say kind of just an over-reliance on using sexual assault of women as a plot device.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it should never be used. I'm not saying there's any hard and fast rule to it, but you know, in the same way, when, you know, you look at, you know, the fact that the black guy's the first one to die in any movie where there's a bunch of people that are going to die, and it becomes a trope at a certain point, and you wonder, okay, well, why is that happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the act of creation, either through, like, okay, even if it's like, well, they're the most sympathetic and we need to kill them first so we can get the sympathy of the crowd. Like, there are these kind of racial underpinnings to why this is so. And I do think that it seems like whenever there's, hey, we need a woman to have a redemption story, it goes right to sexual assault very often. Yeah. And I think that that's a little weird.
It is a little weird, but is mm-hmm. I'd love to see the math on this. Is it actually a trend, or is it just our perceiving is a trend? I actually agree with you on the end part, which is, hey, we need to get to here, therefore from A to B we need the what the woman overcomes is quite often sourced somewhere here. And I agree, so yeah. I agree with that, and I don't know why the hell that is, why we can't be more creative.
It's either
than
domestic
that.
Violence or sexual assault or some combination of the two. Yeah. And again, you know, like, this is just an observed trend, you know, and I think probably more has to do with the fact that we don't get a lot of these stories. So when it happens, you know, in a small sample size, it might be overrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
But not every, I mean, there's a billion different male redemption stories that come from all different elements.
Yeah, I agree with this.
Personal, romantic, you know, we've got, you know, we in the Pocahontas terms, paint with all the colors of the wind when it comes to, you know, how guy A comes from, you know, super down to super over.
Yeah, I agree with that. That is a very, that's a very persistent trend, even if they don't know they're doing it. And I think that, like, the black guy dies first trope, which we talk about on Film Sack all the time, I've always wondered why that is. Like, why is that so prominent, prevalent, certainly in a particular era? I don't think it happens
certainly
as much
from,
anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly from a period in filmmaking, that was the way to go on and a type of film.
And I don't suspect there are directors going, guys, first thing on the list today, kill a black guy first, all right? Can we get all on board with this? Like, I don't think that was actually happening. It feels like a subconscious thing where they're just like, oh, well, yeah, that guy's... I don't know. I don't know where it comes from.
Well, you want to know what? Because it also ties into the idea of... whatever. I mean, we're already down a rabbit hole, so I'll say the phrase. But the whole magical Negro, like, trope.
Yeah.
That very often the black guy who dies is also the black guy who knows about whatever ancient rune the stupid, you know, shithead teenager just kicked over and why, you know, the evil spirit is now, you know, marauding through the town.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh no, that came from the old pirate ship. Like, you know, and so now it's the sense of like, oh wow, now we're really up Poop's Creek because this, like, and in an odd way there is this kind of like paternal benevolent racism element of like, no, but the black guy was the only guy who knew what was going on and now he's dead.
Yeah,
like in that in that Scatman Crothers in The Shining kind of way.
Yeah, that's right. That guy, he is the worst example of that. Oh my gosh, I forgot it was Scatman Crothers.
He's got The Shining.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like, oh, you know, there's a...
Yeah. I don't know. It's funny. It's like there are a billion... Not a billion. There are dozens of shows on TV that feature this troubling thing when they need it as a plot device, right? It's just that I don't think people should be surprised that something as big a reach as Game of Thrones is becoming the touchstone for the conversation. And I think it's a healthy one to have.
It is.
In fact, I'm really glad that people are having this discussion because it really is it's a worthy thing to talk about. It's a thing that's worth discussing. Where do these, you know, if our artistic expressions consciously or unconsciously express where our heads are at in some kind of collective way, then what is it? You know, why are we all into zombies? What is it? So why are we certain phases into disaster
also,
movies or whatever? You know,
just for the record, if we're going to have a conversation that involves troubling sexual assaults and Game of Thrones, George R. R. Martin does not get off scot-free because there are a lot of troubling sexual assaults in those books.
Yeah,
more of them. In fact, I don't think we're going to get it on the show. But, you know, Cersei initiates one in this point in her story in the books. You know, there's a lot. And listen, it's a brutal, dusty, awful, crappy world, you know? And that is what he is trying to do. However, and this is a different issue in books than it is with television shows, in large part because not only are there more female protagonists in books, but there are more female writers in books because mostly women read. Guys don't read a lot, you know, and that's just stats, right? Women buy books and women like women writers and women protagonists. So there's a lot more female stories. So it's a different conversation when it comes to George R. R. Martin's writing versus the limited quantity of how many shows get made and how many shows get talked about. Mm-hmm. But that certainly, listen, man, that is in the source material. Like, you know, it might not have happened to the person and it might be in a different way. But if we are to represent accurately or as accurately as possible, the world in which George R. R. Martin has written, it's screwed up. And I think part of it is like Martin does not get a free pass on this. Like, this is out of his imagination. And a lot of the kind of, you know, if you're going to play politics on it, not in the Republican-Democrat sense, but in the, you know, well, why did you do this? And you're moving this boat around in a certain way to tell us a certain story. Like, has a lot of, like, lingering, well, why did we have to go there?
Mm-hmm.
That seems a little weird.
Yeah, plus, I also have a theory that certain shows that last this long, they start, it's like Avengers 2 getting a little bit less, you know, well-received, and people being a little bit down on how Black Widow was treated. A lot of that stuff tends to be kind of the honeymoon's over period, a little bit.
Man, the Black Widow thing, I really don't.
Like, yeah, as far as the argument that I don't get it either. I think that movie's just not as good generally, and I don't. That's all about it.
And for whatever, and listen, if you want to listen to us talk a lot about Avengers, you know, we did a whole podcast about it. But
right.
This thing kind of brewed up after we had done the show, and after reading more about it. Again, all concerns are valid. All criticisms are valid. Art is subjective for a reason, and I don't want to get all worked up into a nerd rage, you know, about it. You know, it's not anything as important as, like, organic versus mechanical web shooters, which is ridiculous. And if you disagree with me, you're wrong. I did not read. I read the sterile, and now spoilers for Avengers Age of Ultron. I did not read the sterilization conversation as anything other than Black Widow in a position of power over Bruce Banner, revealing something about herself to make Bruce feel more comfortable. You know, Bruce brings up the fact that he'll never be able to have kids, and she relates to him based on her own story of tragedy. This was far more, I looked at Black Widow as the dominant one who was, you know, trying to calm down somebody that she cares about, more than her sobbing over the fact that she can't have a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not.
That's one of the most rational ways of putting that I've heard.
Yeah. Also, it's like this: if it just,
but that's just how I watched it, and other people can watch it in other ways, and that's kind of the cool thing about art. Right?
If Justin's left nipple is constantly leaking oil. Some sort of oil, and he comes to me and says, "Oh, my nipple's leaking oil."
Yeah.
I'd say, "Justin, my nipple's also leaking oil," and we can have this moment of understanding, of sort of intimate exchange of truth and fact, and that's how I took it. I mean, my example is always as terrible.
And then we'll set up cans and try to knock them down.
But you know what I mean? I may have come to you and said, yeah, yours may be leaking oil, but let me tell you the story behind mine leaking oil. It was because this crazy maniacal dude put a oil pump in my chest while I was asleep one night in Vegas, and now I leak oil all the time. And now we have this new level of understanding. That's all I ever took any of it as. Now, I'm not a woman, and people at home have probably been yelling this for the last half an hour, that we need a female perspective on all of this. I don't know, But I can understand that point of view of, you know, feeling like, well, it's always this, isn't it? It's always a woman's gender. It's her ability to not have kids. It's her position as victim in these cases. Like I can see all those points of view for sure.
Yeah.
But I didn't walk away from that going, oh man, what a victim. Like I she's the toughest chick in Marvel movies, period. And dudes who I use the word dude with the same inflection I use the word chick. I don't mean chick as a derogatory.
You're saying broad.
Yeah, no, yeah, whatever. People can take any word they want to. But what I mean is I'm a huge fan of very strong character female characters in movies, period. And I don't even like to even try to separate it and say, oh, I'm sure glad this movie had a strong female thing. I just like strong characters. And when they're girls, I like it even more, probably because I'm a father of two, trying to raise strong girls.
So
you know,
here's kind of an even more broad meta thing about this kind of stuff is like, I feel like all we can ever do is be true to our own perspective, and you know, I think it is false to pretend that we come from a totally neutral perspective. You know, like I can say what I like, I can say what I want, I can say what I aspire to like, I can say what I aspire, what my assessment of my own perspective is, but it's like, yeah, I'm going to look at everything like a dude, you know, like that's because I am one. And that those are all my experiences. And I the best thing that I feel like I can do is be open to other people's perspectives and journeys, you know, and the more that I know, I feel like that's the a richer person that I'm going to be. But like, it's the same reason why whenever we get into these discussions, I think, you know, I disagree with you know, where some of the people are coming from on Game of Thrones and Black Widow. And but I find it offensive if people are like, no, they don't have a right to have that. They read this wrong, especially if they're dudes.
Yeah.
Because like that, I mean, like, we can all have reasonable artistic disagreements and we can talk about it, especially on serious subjects, because it does us no good if we just draw hard battle lines and say we refuse to discuss something with somebody that has a different opinion than us on the most important stuff. We need to have those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know, if you're like, well, nope, sorry, you're just complaining, you know, because you didn't, obviously they meant this, and it's like, right. Then no, you ain't doing nobody no good.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's right. Part of what I like about this segment is we can sort of do that. And there are going to be people who disagree with something we said, so please email us.
And we
us
should. Yeah, like, I mean, that's totally the point. Exactly. Like, there's not, this isn't, you know, this is for discussion. Hopefully it's not for argument.
We have a couple perspectives, and other people have theirs, and we'd like to hear yours.
Listen, if we are in a vacuum called the Game of Thrones vacuum, we can all agree on one thing. That little shithead needs to die. That's all.
Well, I mean, that's the big curious thing is the books end before the last book ends before Stannis gets to Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be a bit of a C tease. And you can put whatever C you want.
a colonial tease.
Gender neutral.
A colostomy tease. A colon tease. There you go.
Yeah, whatever, man. Yeah. There you go. Whatever floats your boat.
Sure.
If the way that they are planning this, that they are showing this now with a couple episodes left, if we don't get some resolution to at least one of the Boltons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be both the Boltons.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it might be one of the Boltons. And it's part of how I think that this season they brilliantly positioned Stannis, because, you know, Stannis has been a very, very hard guy to root for, yeah. Even in the, like, well, who would be most interesting if they took over Westeros? Yeah. Stannis is really not there.
He's getting there, though.
But you are very interested in a guy who, you know, has cut off his best friend's fingers, for rule breaking, what he does to somebody that has a flayed man on their sigil.
Yeah. I hope,
you know,
hoping,
like, what is the punishment for their crime?
Flay for right. Flay is what I'm saying.
Flay for flay.
Flay for flay. He used to wear a clock around his neck. Fantastic.
Exactly.
Well,
get
good.
Bobby Flay out there.
It all comes down to 90s. Early 90s rap. All right. Well, there you go. Thoughtful stuff. People, if you have any thoughts, feelings, or whatever, email us and let us know how you're feeling. Justin, anything to pimp or plug before we let you go?
Yeah. And by the way, you don't need to necessarily plug the Scott's email. But you can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com.
Sure.
I feel like that's a lot. That's a lot of heavy stuff to just put on your plate for you to sift through. So if you have larger, you know, essays about this, I will be happy to read and respond to.
Sure.
All of them.
Yeah.
Justin Robert.
Every single one of them.
What's
going on? Anything?
So, what have we got? Jury show this week. I have a one sentence test that will not only save you time and make you happier, it will bring you more fulfilling relationships.
Have you heard of this?
It's called the Young Test.
Oh, okay. So that sounds like The Secret or something.
No, it's okay. One sentence that you know, it's got to be applied correctly, but it will bring you, I believe it's a breakthrough, a revolution in science, which once you hear it, you will find it funny, hopefully.
All right.
And then speaking of personality, we have on the show, the Night Attack show tonight, the betting event of the year.
Whoa.
Whoa, really?
Yes. Because, you know, you have this horse racing that everybody still pretends like they care about.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, nobody cares about horse racing. No one knows jack about horse racing.
Hey, that American Pharaoh is two-thirds of the way to the Triple Crown.
You want to know what people like? People wearing funny hats and betting.
I agree.
It is really a testament to America's betting problem.
I agree.
That this is a random number generator with silly names. So you want to know what? We are going to help satiate your betting problem.
All right.
America and all
scratch that
see.
Betting itch,
yeah.
Is what you're going to be doing.
I am going to take a Myers-Briggs personality test
live
on the show tonight. And we will have betting opportunities on every element of it.
Nice.
So gather your friends, get your coins together, because you might be able to win some money depending on where I land on the Myers-Briggs spectrum.
And of course, he and Schwed will be on some offshore oil rig where betting is legal. So don't worry, everything will be fine. Nothing, no weird ramifications will come from this weird betting opportunity.
Sure, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, this is only for people who live in Nevada.
Obviously.
Of course. Only, right.
Okay. Yeah. Justin R. Young on Twitter, everybody. Follow him there and yell at him for the things he said today, or congratulate him on his fine thoughts. Either way, we'll accept it. Justin, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, gang.
Bye now.
See you, Jerry.
All right.
Good. That was handled in a very, you know, there was some... We walked the edge of that cliff very well and said some important things without going over.
Well,
that was handled
well. I think we are all, the important thing is we're all saying what we believe. That's what really matters. So
exactly.
We got one important thing to talk about. We'll do emails tomorrow. I'm going to save those.
Okay.
Because I got that Terpster thing coming up. I got to get ready for.
Right.
Important
Terpster thing. Terpster, you mean?
Terpster thing. Yeah. The important thing is this. At patreon.com/TMS, we're always kind of trying to come up with ways to like make more reasons for you to want to hang around and help us out. And here's the deal. From now until the end of May, we actually already started. We're giving away a Frog Pants t-shirt every day on the show. Our very first winner, already been given to him, Carlos Chucos. Does that sound
Excellent.
Right? Does that sound good?
Yeah, you did say that right. That's how I would have said that.
My pronunciation is tight. anyway, Carlos, congratulations. You won the first t-shirt.
Ooh, green, yellow, whatever. Just keep bringing me that, man.
Yeah, it's important to know that none of these are like, you can't pick the shirt. These are assorted shirts. The right size will get you. But
it's like a Frog Pant loot crate kind of thing where you get a shirt. Sure. You just get a shirt.
Yeah, you don't know what random drop you're going to get, but it'll be cool. We know that. So we currently have 1,400 backers on Patreon for the show. For every 5 new backers each day, we will give away an additional shirt that day. So every day they're getting to doing a shirt no matter what. But for every 5 new backers, another shirt.
Right.
Coming.
And check this out. Yeah. We're already up to 1,404. So from yesterday to today, we're one patron away from giving away 2 shirts tomorrow.
Yeah. So if you've been on the fence and all you want to do is just go and give $1 a month or something, that's fine. You're now in the running. And we give an extra shirt away, which means you're in the running twice. So we'll mention on the show who wins. The next day, so we got some math here on how the shirts work, but you guys understand. Every day, 5 new people. That means extra shirt. The more backers we pick up, the more shirts we give away on each show. Since the more new patrons we get, the more chances for patrons to win shirts, we're going to ask you to spread the word about Patreon. Tell your friends. If you got a friend who listens to the show and is enjoying it, mention to them, hey, you might win some stuff. Go check it out. Go out and tweet backing TMS using hashtag TMS patron. That's TMS patron, P-A-T-R-O-N. And at the end of May, we'll pick a winner at random from the tweets that use the hashtag, and you will get what we're calling a super sack. The super sack will include a couple of signed prints, a TMS mug, a bag of the Morning Brew coffee beans, a copy of Secret Identity.
Oh, there's some other good stuff that we're talking about. I love the super sack.
Yeah, it's really good. Comic trade paperbacks, handpicked by us. We already did this, actually. T-shirts, other surprises, and the other surprises are what Brian's alluding to. All kinds of cool stuff. I think we can probably mention now that these great cards from Len Peralta's Geek a Week project from both me and Brian will be included in those sacks as well.
Signed, yes.
Yep, signed.
I'm going to hold something up to the camera.
We got there.
Very quickly.
If it's not a wiener, I'm fine.
Ooh.
Oh, 3D cover of the logo.
Ooh.
Fancy. So cool stuff. And there's more that we won't even mention here because it's still being finalized. But The secret, the Super Sack is really something we're very interested in. So anyway, we'll continue Super Sack after May as a monthly thing. We'll see how it goes as we get closer to it, but we'll commit to that if this goes well. But we're very excited about it. So yet another reason there are no excuses not to go to patreon.com/TMS. Sign up, baby.
That's right. And White Top does ask a very good question. Is there a minimum donation threshold to be eligible? No, I think no. I mean, no. If you do $1 more a month or more, then you're eligible. And you help us out. And, you know, bottom line is we put in a lot of hours to put this show together. And it's, you know, it's a job for us. It's a fun job. It's a job we love. And that's the best thing about if you do something you love, it doesn't feel like work. But it does kind of push away some other things that we have to say no to, some other freelance and things like that.
Sure.
We love producing the show for you. And so that's why it's like, you know, if you can help out, we'd love for your help in getting us.
And for those who can't, you know, and I understand there are people who maybe just feel like they can't, that's still exactly. Okay. The fact totally that you still okay. Listen, that's great. And if you tell your friends via this hashtag or other methods, that's also a really cool way to help us out. So
that's right. Thank the you, hashtag everybody. Is TMS patron.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, I mean, we still have that trivia show hanging up there above the mantle.
Yep.
As like this thing I would love to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one we did was a blast. I would love to do that on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you haven't heard that, dig through the archives and find it. It was really fun.
Yeah.
What episode make that was happen. That? Do you remember what that was?
Eh. Oh, God, I don't even remember.
Wish I had that handy. I'll pull it up for tomorrow so people know where to look. Mm-hmm. If you've never heard it. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. Frogpants.com/TMS. is where you want to go. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. You can send voicemails to 801-471-0462 if you have thoughts or feelings about the show. On Twitter, @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. We'll be back tomorrow with Tom and Nicole and a whole new Wednesday. What else? Is there anything else? I think that's it.
I think that's it.
Let's get some music and go. What do you got for me?
Wow. Long show.
Yeah, long show today.
All right. This one is going out to Zach. Sorry, not Zach. It goes out to Rob. The first one went out to Zach. Hey, Scott and Brian. Last month, I got married to my best friend and the love of my life. One of the many things I find so adorable about Annie is her unexpected love of 80s hair bands. Our one-month anniversary will be on the 18th, and I would love it if you could play a cover of or by Motley Crue. Love the show, though. Rob.
Mm.
Rob, you bet. Man, of course.
Right on.
By the way, do you know that Darius Rucker does a cover of a Motley Crue song?
No. What?
He does.
On
he
a,
does,
like a
we're not going to play that.
Is it like a country thing, though?
It's a countrified version, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it
someday.
Okay. Is it a bit
it
like...
It wasn't good enough for this.
Does it sound like this?
It's a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Not like that?
Sounds. It does not sound as good as that.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's all right. I joke. I mean, it's... It's a cover of Time for Change by Motley Crue. And it's countrified. It didn't feel right for this, but maybe someday we'll play that.
Sure.
How about another cover of Motley Crue? This one by The Porkers from the album Metallica from 2000. It's The Porkers and their cover of Kickstart My Heart.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Be good.
Kickstart my heart. When we started this band, all we needed was a laugh. Years gone by, I say, we've kicked some ass.
When I'm in rage or hit the stage, adrenaline rushes through my veins, and I say, man, still kicking ass.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Guys, it's my dick I pick.
Ew.